Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. I am your host, Kat Martone Peoples, along with my very special, talented guest speaker, artist James Carr, where he'll be talking about the spirit of art. And later on in this show, I will do a Q&A segment with James, where all I can really say is it is very impressive. In addition to James being our guest speaker tonight, this show offers thought hoarding that we are not alone in this immeasurable universe and the role we play in manifesting our reality. So be prepared to be taken on a wild ride of what to bleep moments, along with an oracle card reading for the collective at the end of the show. Need new tools and techniques to add to your spiritual toolbox? You will find them here, along with how-to practices to increase your vibration and frequency with the intent of reaching transcendence where all things are possible. So as previously discussed on this show, our thoughts are the electrical charge in the quantum field, and feelings produce the magnetic charge in the quantum field. And how you think and how you feel broadcasts electromagnetic energy that influences every atom, which affects your life. Your thoughts send a signal out, and the feeling draws that experience back to you. So then, if the person is living in anger, impatience, resentment, frustration, and so forth, they're holding the intention of their future. So when this happens, that's your mind and your body in opposition. And think about that. There is no vibrational match between anything in that person's future because they're waiting for something different to happen. They're not different. So previously on this show, I've talked about healing from old ancestral wounds, generational trauma, karma, and curses, in an attempt to give you insight into positively changing your lineage. With that said, the following piece of information spoke loud and clear to me. This is so interesting. So did you know that your heart has its own brain? So in 1991, scientists discovered that every human heart has approximately 40,000 specialized figures in a way that creates a neural network in the heart. They are like brain-like cells, but they're not in the brain. They're in the heart. And these 40,000 specialized cells are called sensory neurites. And what scientists found is that these cells think independently of the cranial brain. They feel and they remember independently of the cranial brain. And what this means is that every experience we have is registered in two places. Amazing. Both in the cranial mind as well as in the heart. For instance, are having a trauma, it would still be registered in both places. And if I tried, for instance, to heal that trauma only through thinking about it or talking about it from a mind perspective, the healing may feel incomplete. And the reason for this is because I've only addressed what happened in the brain, but not the heart. So it makes it clear that your brain and your heart need to be cohesive in order appropriate in speaking about these ancestral, you know, changing ancestral generational trauma, because most people go straight to the brain, yet it's the heart that has its own makeup, just like the brain. And they're independent. So that was fascinating to me. So this scientific information I just provided to you about the heart having its own brain, like I just said, is fascinating. And it will be explained next Monday, March 6th, on a spiritual level by DC Love, my new teammate and co-host on Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. In short here, she is a global divine healer, and her journey is nothing less than extraordinary. Having visited heaven several times and coming back with a sense of knowing at a very young age, to have profound visitations by both Mother Mary and Jesus, whereby not only becoming the vessel by which Mother Mary and Jesus heals through her, but performs miracles. So to learn more, you will have to listen in next week when DC will do a 4-minute Mother Mary healing for the collective at the beginning of the show. So trust me, you do not want to miss this. On a side note, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality will be changing its airtime from 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, beginning next Monday, March the 6th. And I'll remind you at the end of this show. So getting back on track here, we already know how to heal our physical heart, but how does one go about healing their spiritual heart? So a person's true spiritual path begins with self-awareness, prayer. And the repair of our heart cannot be attained through any process of mental or emotional amendment, but only through spiritual replacement. Healing the heart is not about its gradual reformation, but its permanent restoration. So in addition, surrendering all things over to God and forgiveness takes us back to source where we are whole. And healings are felt. In the Bible, it says Jesus specifically instructed his followers to go out and heal the sick. So there's going to be more on this later, but I just wanted to give you an introduction into what healing is. And what is healing, right? So what truly is healing? There's many answers for this. There's many types of healing. But in a nutshell, healing occurs through the integrating forces that restore, transform, sustain, and nurture the whole person, mind, body, and space, and in every dimension of life and within relationships of the person to the divine, as well as other people. So that, again, is just in a nutshell. There are many types of healings, as well as what DC will do in the beginning of the next show. So make sure you tune in early, because it will be 4 minutes at the beginning of the show. So what is a miracle? So according to scholarly research from Stanford University, a miracle is a welcomed event that is not completely explainable by nature or scientific laws, and therefore considered to be the work of the divine. When speaking about near-death experiences, Discover magazine estimated that 9 million people in the United States alone have had a transformative near-death experience, whereby the same and or similar stories are being shared. This to date is still leaving scientists scratching their heads. However, these testimonials from all walks of life, young and old, different cultures and countries. So is everyone lying? You can go ahead and make that call. All right. So I'm going to go ahead here, and I'm going to introduce James Carr. Are you there, James?
I sure am. Thank you very much, Kat.
You're welcome. So this is James Carr's bio and I'm not. Carr is a recognized artist living in the Brandywine Valley, a region well known for its artists and performance personalities in Delaware. He attended the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, where his innate talents were honed and expanded. His main venue is conceptual figurative oil painting. He has an uncanny ability to bring to the surface the spirit of the subject. He is a gifted empath and has been blessed with the grace of spiritual channeling. He feels the reason for the compelling aspect of his artwork comes from an observance of the subject, which he then translates creatively to the canvas. He is deeply studied and believes that it is indeed the bridge between spirit and science. He has been blessed to have a spiritual relationship with wondrous angelic powers as well. So are you ready for the Q&A?
I'm ready.
All right, James, are you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
First question. How do you blend the concept of quantum physics with your art?
First of all, I want to thank you for having me on tonight and the family of Sacred Embers. I kind of think of this as speaking about the spirit of art. And really, quantum physics it definitely is very much connected with spiritual situations and how the spirit acts. When you look at quantum physics, basically what they say is everything is energy. And when you get down to the subatomic level of the proton and the electron, the whole idea of space evaporates. There is no space. There is a theory, and it has been tested, and experiments have shown it to be true, that if a proton reacts one way on this side of the galaxy, it's partner electron will be immediately, instantaneously respond to whatever the partner proton is doing. I only go into that because when I do a painting, and by the way, to me, it's always a miracle in a sense, I don't really have a plan of how I'm going to do this painting. Even when I have a situation such as, I know this sounds crazy, but maybe a floral that I do a flower arrangement, that flower is, in quotes, inanimate, in a sense. It's not inanimate like a table is inanimate, but it is a living being. It has an energy, and somehow through my observance of that floral arrangement, that energy comes through to me. I then translate it to the canvas, and I don't really even think about it. I don't think that much about where I'm going to put the stroke or how I'm going to contour or texture that particular painting. And yet, thankfully, they do end up projecting a certain very attractive quality, almost like saying it's a living quality. People have often said of my paintings, and I often do people's primarily, actually, they have often said, excuse me, that the eyes always look alive. They always do. Now, many artists do that. You see that in many great paintings, but I think that this is where that energy of the spirit is coming across. And in many cases, It even comes through a photograph, you know, because that energy is even in that photograph. There are certain, the, you know, Native Americans never wanted to be photographed. And also people out in Lancaster County also don't want to be photographed. And part of that is because they feel that something is going on that they don't want that their soul to be affected. I don't agree with that, but I do agree that somehow that energy ends up there, because it certainly happens when I do a painting.
That's so interesting. Wow. So when your mind and spirit is focused on the subject, the energy just flows through that model or subject, is what you're saying.
Yes.
As well.
And I had seen something recently, this a haiku, and it was, to me, it was like speaking exactly to what I was thinking, and I'd actually never seen it before, but I happened to come across it just a few days ago, and I thought, this is interesting. I'm going to be talking about this in this program with Kat.
Can you explain what the haiku is?
A haiku is a five-syllable, and then I believe it's nine-syllable, and then back to five-syllable poem. It's mainly from Japan, it just has a way of, you know, very condensing an emotion and a thought in a very compelling way.
Fragments of the soul, and that passes through the paint brushes that bring your art to life. Is that what you mean?
It's exactly that.
It's exactly that.
And again, I mean, when you spoke, and I found it so interesting because I actually had read that recently myself, that there is this, we talk about emotional intelligence, and it is coming forth from the heart. And I think in particular, the arts have a way of projecting it's energy, and that's coming through the heart, and what that is a spiritual energy. So how it happens, I don't know, but I consider it a gift. And I think anyone can unlock that. I don't know that everyone can become, you know, a professional artist or someone who is known for their talent in that field, but you gain the riches of being able to represent something, whether it's on a canvas, whether it's in sculpture, whether it's through poetry, whether it's through music. There's something that just enlivens you and enhances your whole soul and your whole spirit. And for me, it happens to be, you know, painting. But actually, I've written a lot of poetry in my past, and I actually didn't pick up paintbrushes until I was about halfway through. I was going to say my life, but that'll give away my age. But I never really did it. I did it because we had a baby. I was playing the piano at the time, kind of getting to be better at it. I was taking lessons. I played many other instruments as well, drums and trumpet and a lot of other things. But I could no longer continue to play the piano because it was right next to my baby's room. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, I have all these images. I could have these vibrant images. Maybe I'll start taking classes. And I did, and I ended up, which to me was just the most wonderful experience in the world, going to, I believe it's the oldest art school in America, the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts in Philadelphia. There may be one in Boston that might be a bit older, but it's just, to walk in there was just like, you know.
It sounds like you were divinely guided in that direction.
I think I was, yes.
Yeah. So basically you're saying here too that there's just a life force that comes through, you know, onto the canvas as you're painting. The energy just, you know, whether it's the painting on the canvas or even, you said, the photos, it's like an artistic soul projected onto the canvas. It's just, it's really interesting. Very interesting stuff.
And again, it does tie into quantum physics and mechanics, because they know that, not to get too deep in the weeds here, but they know that there is a particle, but when it's observed, it goes from being a particle to being a vibration, just as being an energy. And they know that if they say shoot these particles one way and it's not observed, it'll do something. But then they'll turn around, do the same thing, observing it, and it'll do a totally different thing. Now,
right.
That is pretty amazing.
Quantum mechanics is extremely amazing. Yeah, just a very, very interesting field to tap into, and it sounds like you've had many experiences there. So I'm going to go on to the next question here.
Okay.
Do you believe anyone can engage their soul energy to produce art?
I believe that there is such a thing as innate talent. It doesn't mean that everybody can enhance their lives through undertaking some form of art. But I do believe that, you know, somewhere in our DNA or genetic situation, you know, we just, you know, it's like you hit a bell and it just rings. But if you hit another, you know, if you hit a piece of wood, it doesn't necessarily ring, you know, like a bell does. So I do believe that. For example, and I just happen to have been able to be interested and always involved with all of the arts. I also was an athlete, but so I didn't want to say that. In order to be, you know, to reach a level where, let's say, I'm a recognized artist, I think it takes an immense amount of practice. Again, when I say that, I'm not saying that my work is much different than when I started. It is better. It is more refined. I'm able to refine it. But that spirit was even coming through when I first started painting.
So you're saying that you believe in artists, that you in particular, talking about, you have an intuitive gift of creativity, right? That that it's just, it again, it's, you know, you're associating, you know, this gift of creativity with, again, musicians, poets, sculptures and, you know, just this other artist. But it's like the level of awareness, right? Is that what you're talking about? Like the level of awareness that some will or may or may not unlock that ability in an artistic way? Like, I feel like the artists, you know, just intuitively have, you know, true artists intuitively have that creativity that goes beyond the norm, right? So we're all creative in our own way, but what you're talking about makes very real sense to me, you know, just how, for instance, the soul energy just through and produces the art. It just, you know, you being into an empath and a medium as well, you have that ability. And so I'm just trying to understand myself to a point where the listeners can kind of understand it as well. But you're saying that some people still need to tap into it. So they have it. They just have to tap into it.
Well, you know, other things go on in their lives. Do understand some aspects of quantum physics, but if you could ask me to figure out those formulas, you know, I could spend 10 years on it. I probably wouldn't even get through the first, you know, formula. You know, it's different parts. You know, there's the left side of the brain, the right side of the brain. I still think, as you said before in your opening, that most of this comes for emotional intelligence from the heart. But it also comes from the different sector of the brain as well. The ability
right.
to take that feeling, take that observation, and to interpret it. I don't know any other way to explain it. The one thing, you know, not that there's a lot of people in this area are scientists because there's many corporations around here. And I love science, totally love it. But I often will take photographs of sunsets or sunrises, and they are so, I mean, I'm just like knocked over by the beauty, and I just don't see how anyone.
Of your work, and they are beautiful.
And I take them just with my phone. I have a Nikon, but I don't even use it anymore, which says a lot for the technology of the phones today. But I don't know how anyone couldn't believe that this is something from the divine. And yet there are people that I talk with that I really, really like, friends, and they would say, oh no, that's the chemical composition going through the atmosphere and create. And they're like, okay.
Right. Right. You care. Yeah. You just, people, they'll know when they know. Right. So, all right. Well, here's another question for you. Tell me about, you had talked about an angel guide. Tell me about your angel guide.
Now, this is really interesting because this is coincidental with my awareness of sacred embers. As I became aware of sacred embers, I had been able to channel departed spirits, family members, and whatnot, but not an angelic force. It never had come into my experience. And almost as soon as I became aware of sacred embers and became more and more familiarized with it, or observing it, you know, and listening to the programs, all of a sudden I felt that I was receiving guidance and awareness from Archangel Raphael. I also had seen this. I'm sorry.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's all.
And it just so happens that, I mean, I know somewhat about cards, reading cards, and that happens to be, it's Raphael, Archangel Raphael, is often associated with the sun, the solar angel. And that is the sixth in the major arcana. And that's a card that I had done studies on the Akashic realm as well. And one of the things I once read was you would, by meditating on certain cards of the tarot, you will become more and more expanded in your awareness. And that is what happened. And generally, I mean, I really knew nothing much about angels. I grew up in a denomination that was more direct with Jesus, which I also have had the great gift of, believe I've had that gift of being able to perceive his spirit, but not so much really angels. My background was Presbyterian, not that that, you know, but it's just not one that emphasizes that, but it just came into me, and, you know, I found this to be this very, very nice guy, and he'd kind of be there sort of saying to me, "Yeah, Jim, what are you doing? You got to think about this. You really want to do that?" Kind of the way I saw it or heard it. And then that went on, and I would often call him up and just ask him, "Hey, am I doing the right thing here?" And he would always give me a kind of a really basic, down-to-earth kind of advice. And then the other night, literally two nights ago, I was just blasted with this white light in the middle of the night, and I knew this was an entirely different Archangel Raphael. This was the magnificent Archangel Raphael, and I just prayed and was so grateful and thankful for it.
So this was last night. So explain the white light. Did it consume the whole room? Was it in one place?
It was in the middle of the night, and I've never had any experience like that. It was just like a huge blinding light, and then I could see sort of a figure, a form, mostly just the face of the head of it, and it just, yeah, it basically consumed my entire aura.
Wow. That's profound.
It was just amazing, and, you know, I just got down on my knees and was so grateful.
I mean, that's really interesting because, you know, Mighty Archangel Raphael is the Mighty Archangel of healing. And it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about healing on the show. And he also guides those who are in, you know, the healing fields as well. So it's just, and I, you know, he does many, many, many things, but he's usually associated with the healing, you know, aspect for people on every level. So
I think I see, too, that he also projects the principle of union of opposites, as in the card. And his sign correspondent is Gemini, which happens to be my sign as well. And the duality, the opposite, you know, union, being able to bring the opposites together to create one. I'm very, very thankful for that.
That's very interesting. Okay, so let's move on here to the last question. And if you can just really, I just want to know, as far as this, you're an artist and a medium, so how does that take form in, you know, the spirit of art?
Well, being a medium, as you know, is seeing a spirit. And in art, it's usually going to be an embodied living spirit rather than necessarily departed spirit, than being a departed spirit. I've never done a painting of any spirit that I have channeled directly, but I always channel the subjects or the models that I paint. Their energy comes through to me, and it's probably their spirit, guided by their spirit forces, that are leading them to project for me. And then in some way that, you know, to me is miraculous in a way, is that, as I say, I don't plan out a painting. I see it, and then people have asked me, well, do you do a drawing of it before? Never do a drawing. I just, you know, I do see it, and I paint from either a, you know, model or a living, you know, flowers or even a picture, but I don't just sit there. And I do a lot of different things, like I'll put stars or I'll put planets in the background or I'll put different kinds of, you know, colors, very bright, you know, carmine colors. And, you know, I've done different abstracts. I call one warm color shock and the other one called cool color shock. You know, one has, you know, lavenders and violets and, you know, some yellows for contrast, and then the other one has the really hot, you know, cadmium red and hot cadmium yellows. So
nope.
They're coming
but
from...
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying they're coming from another, you know, another dimensional source. So I guess, and I mean, it's channeling, but as I say, it's not channeling like you might do with a departed spirit. Let's put it that way.
Wasn't there a time, though, that I saw you had done it? Picture of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That was I literally did that painting. And usually when I do a figurative painting or a portraiture, it takes me anywhere from, maybe 6 to 8 hours for a mid-sized painting, and then maybe a little bit longer for a larger painting. By that I mean I can get it all sort of in 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours, and then I want to, you know, do more with this and, you know, deepen the contrast in this one, give it more dimensionality with shadowing, that sort of thing. I did that painting in an hour and a half or 2 hours. It just immediately And there's no doubt, no doubt. And by the way, I was gifted with channeling her spirit. She is there, and she's a beautiful, beautiful soul. And I just am so grateful that, you know, it came through. And like I say, most of those kind of size paintings, not a large one, it's only like 14 by 18, I think. But it just came right out. And then, like I say, I mean, something is guiding that brush and me picking up those colors and those paints and doing that.
Because I remember seeing that picture, and it was beautiful.
Thank you.
So as a medium, you do communicate with just powerful, compassionate spirits that, again,
yeah,
like the thing just brush.
I did in that case. I haven't usually, but I did in that case. And like I say, I mean, I just get very, very kind and beautiful energy from her soul, which, you know, I could still call her up. I haven't lately. I call the spirit up, but she's just a beautiful, beautiful spirit. And you know, I wanted to mention one other thing. We have talked about the difference between innate or, you know, nurturing or being able to bring it out. I still think that there is that part that is innate, and it's in, you know, it's in the genetic code or whatever. So I want to mention one thing. My mother, who will be 97 in about 2 months, which is just wonderful. She's, you know, just really, even at her age, she still has, you know, most of her cognizance. Sometimes she gets slips a little bit. You know, she'll forget immediate things, but she'll be able to remember about things that happened 50 years ago to the detail. She was, she didn't fight in the war, but she was working in a munitions factory in Georgia. And before that, I believe it was, she had actually gone to school, Georgia State College for Women, to become a fashion designer. So, you know, she always had that. I remember as a child, I used to love it when she would sit down and just take a piece of paper and just start drawing something, and it would be so cool. It would have such, you know, such nice little moves with it. She had that talent, but as so many people of that generation, she got married and was a wonderful mother, and just forewent that talent. But I think she's very happy because, you know, she did what she did. But
right. Well, there's always life that comes into play. So I understand what you're saying. And we live in a, you know, for whatever reason, you know, there's always a reason, your job, your, you know, your kids. So sometimes there's chaos going on all around you, and it's hard to just zero in on to what your true God-given abilities are and, you know, appreciate and, you know, work with it. Not that she's appreciated, but,
you know. Raising a family is an art form in itself.
It is an art form. That's right.
So,
I believe it.
So it's, you know, I don't feel that she feels that she's missed anything. I think her life has been very rich to her family.
Okay. Well, I just really want to thank you for coming on the show and just, you know, explaining your talent and all of your abilities, because I have seen James's work, and you know, hanging in museums in different places, and it's just beautiful work, and he gets commissioned for his work as well. Private, I think that, don't you have private, there's private collections out there as well. So just a very well thought out.
I've been able to meet with some entertainers or celebrities of a sort, and fortunately for me, they really like my work. I have about 1,000 followers on Instagram. I've been in many, many, many shows and been in many different galleries, but really what I generally do now is post on social media, and for me, it's worked out very well.
Well, I'm going to give the listeners your information at the end of the show. So we have to move on here because of the time, but I usually give the listeners a how-to technique, and I just, before I forget, I wanted to give them one for shielding themselves, and you have to give me a second here. So with shielding yourself, you could do this in many, many ways, but it's just protecting yourself from harsh or fear-based energies. And one of the ways that you can do this is by envisioning a cocoon of healing light surrounding you. So it's just, you know, very, the sensitivity that, you know, many of us empaths have is heightened to energies. And the sensitivity means that, you know, we may absorb other people's energies, which make us tired or unfocused. So, you know, it's those things that if you just don't feel right, or you're feeling in a way that is not normal, then more than likely you've picked up someone else's energy consciously and or unconsciously. So, you know, I guess an example would be like, you know, you want to walk outdoors in a rainstorm without an umbrella, right? So it's just important to use your, to shield your energy. And that was just one way. And you can also, you know, envision just the white light around yourself. But also you can put the colors of the chakras around you as well. And, you know, associate the colors of the chakras around you and with the intention of you being protected in all those areas. So anyway, I just wanted to do that. And then also I did pick a card for the collective. And so wait, let me just go back to this shield yourself. So like you could do, the white for just general protection. You can use the purple for spiritual protection from like psychic attacks. You could put a pink light around you for just lightheartedness, really. Sometimes romance. The green light, of course, is the healing and the protection of your health. Like the blue light increases communication clarity. Like it's very powerful. Very easy form of shielding yourself from other people's energy. Okay, so the next portion we have here is what the bleep moments. And James, if you have any what the bleep moments, which I know that you do, if you want to share them, you can. But I'll just name a couple. I was in my son's room when it was sunny. I don't even believe it was winter time. And I was laying on the bed just talking, and all of a sudden the room seriously started to get colder and colder and colder to the point where I was absolutely freezing. I mean, my hands were hard. Like, they were cold, like frozen cold. And I just, it was insane. It was just so crazy that it happened. And, you know, right away, I just feel the presence of spirit. And I didn't feel anything bad, you know, but it was truly making itself known, because I do feel the presence of spirit and energy. And that was just in your face, just, oh my gosh, energy. So I, you know, I got myself out of there, you know, sent it love, and, you know, but I never did really figure out who it was, just that it didn't really bother me after that. So it was fine. And there's another instance where my other son, he was boiling water. And I could see him looking at the water. And I'm looking at it, too, like the steam that was coming up from the boiling water. And it made a shape. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Well, we took the picture, and it was that of a ram. Now, I should have looked up what ram meant before I give an example. So maybe I'll come back to that and let you guys know what the ram means. But I believe it's a very good spirit animal. We've also taken pictures of, like, bodies of water. Like, this is in a resort where faces just come up. And honest to God, the one face I did see, well, it was just a face. It reminded me of the gardener that was working on the property, but who knows if it was that person or not. And if it was, why would it be in the water? Like, what significance did it have for us to be seeing that? So again, these are what the bleep moments for me, because I don't always understand what I'm or why I'm being shown these things. And then there was, do you know?
I was just going to mention that I have what I think is my spirit animal, and that is a hawk. And it never fails that when I'm feeling, you know, I really need some guidance here. I need some strengthening here in this situation. I'll be just driving down wherever, and I'll look up, and there'll be a beautiful hawk sitting up on one of these lamp posts along the highway or wherever, or else see it, and it'll fly across in front of my car. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that probably is sort of, well, they used to always say that they would read signs of birds in flight, and that's what I think is my totem.
Yeah, I know. Well,
they're wonderful.
And I've seen them in Vision Quest before, and very interesting. But anyway, so because we are running out of time, I'm going to quickly just say this another what the bleep moment was. I was doing a spiritual practice associated with automatic writing, and we were bringing in the Holy Spirit when all of a sudden I saw dozens of these white lights when I was done just right in front of me. And I said to the spiritual teacher at the time, I said, oh my gosh, did you see that? And she very calmly just said, yes, that was the Holy Spirit. And there you go. I mean, it was just a moment. So now I'm going to go ahead and pull a card for the collective real quick. And give me 1 second. Okay. I picked the twin flame. The twin flame is the card for the collective. The answer to your question involves a spiritually based romantic relationship. This card was drawn because a twin, it's just an answer to your question. A twin flame is a romantic partner who originated from your spiritual soul group. And that person is the one. Often twin flames incarnate together during their last lifetime on Earth. And after the reincarnation cycle has been completed and all the karma has been balanced, these twin flames usually incarnate simultaneously. They don't usually incarnate simultaneously, but instead volunteer to function as one another's spirit guides. So your twin flame could be guiding you from their side, helping you with every area of your life, including romance. You can go ahead and just, you know, an action step would be write a letter to your twin flame's guardian angels and begin, you know, saying, dear guardian angel to my twin flame, and then express your feelings, thoughts, questions, you know, what you want from a twin flame. And I know that they say that when you'll recognize a twin flame or soulmate immediately, and there won't be any doubt in your heart or mind when you come face to face with him or her. So that's a beautiful card for the collective. So for we have to end the show here, but once again, I want to thank you, James Carr, for allowing me to interview you and for just going ahead and, you know, giving us all that information. That was beautiful. If anyone wants to contact, he can be reached on Instagram at JCARRART, or Facebook, James Carr.
James Carr.
For Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
So also remember that starting next Monday, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality will air at 7 p.m. Eastern Time instead of 9:30 p.m. We will do a 4-minute Mother Mary healing at the start of the show for the collective. You don't want to miss that. And so with that, I just want to say have a wonderful night. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.